You're listening to Real Facts on Real Estate with Sean Patrick Maloney.
This sounds good.
Welcome to episode 46. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney.
Hey guys, I'm here today with Sean Toussaint, down of North Star Mortgages out of Connecticut. They just got licensed in Massachusetts. Happy to have you here today with us, Sean. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, and I really appreciate the selecting me for the giveaway. I got a lot of value out of the book, and happy to share my thoughts with it here.
So I thought that Sell It by Sarah Hunt was a great book. What were your feelings on it?
I loved it. I was not super familiar with Ryan. I mean, I knew who he was, but I had never seen the show. And I'm always looking to get, you know, some golden nuggets and some takeaways from people who are successful in any aspect of sales. So there's a lot of content in there. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, you watch videos, you read books and stuff, and a lot of the material is very vague. But what I loved about this book was it really went in depth, and, you know, Ryan pulled back the curtain on all the things that has made him successful to date. And you know, I don't think a lot of people are doing that. So I got a lot of tips out of this book. And I highlighted, you know, three of my favorite things to talk with you about today, just to kind of, you know, make sure that we don't go hours into it, 'cause we could talk about it forever.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, with HGTV and all these other channels that these guys are on, you almost feel bad for them, because when the clients look from the outside, they just see this goofy TV show where they're out there selling million-dollar houses in 10 minutes and listing them up and everything, and you don't realize the amount of hustle that it takes to be a top producer at that level, doing over $1 billion in transactions in lifetime. It's quite the feat. So let's talk about one of the first notes you sent me over about having multiple balls up in the air at all times. So let's talk about that. That was a really good point.
Yeah. So it's one of the first couple things that Ryan talks about in the book. And what he means by having multiple balls in the air is having as many opportunities available to you going at the same time. So you're not just focused on one thing, you know, one client, one listing, and then moving on to the next. You're trying to juggle all these different opportunities at the same time. So whether it be, you know, buyers, sellers, or, you know, mortgage people like myself, refinances and purchases, other side projects that are maybe longer term, gonna yield you more business, and just anything that's gonna, you know, present you with closing more deals. So I really love that, because I think a lot of times people in sales have that tunnel vision where, let me focus on this, close this out, and then I'll move on to the next thing. And Ryan kind of makes it okay with having that, you know, scrambled brain for a little bit, because it's going to yield more closed deals. And I just love that concept.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things is, it's like, even at his level, they're doing that. So, you know, you're closing a $10 million place on a 2.5% deal. You know, you're talking, what's the numbers? $250,000+ paychecks. And
yeah,
it's like, it shows you, even at that level, you never stop wanting to put more up, because as soon as you stop wanting to put more up, then you end up in that cyclical effect where it's, I'm really busy. No, I'm not busy. No, I'm really busy. No, yeah. I'm not busy, which is kind of the reason why a lot of people call the winter slow and things like that, because they get over that fall rush. They're working all those fall deals. They're getting those closings in before Christmas, whether it's a mortgage guy or, you know, all of us, you know, the inspectors, everyone, we're getting everything done so we can have a quiet Christmas. And it's like, at the end of the day, that quiet Christmas is the reason January also stinks, because most of us are working our deals anywhere from 30, 60, maybe even 90 days or more in advance. And when you play games like, I'm getting everything done by a certain point, you don't have enough going on, which, again, the more balls up in the air, the more completions you're going to end up having.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very easy, especially somebody at, you know, at that level, to have a month where you're making six figures. It's really easy to get comfortable. And I think that that's kind of one thing that's led to Ryan's success, and something that we can all learn from, is, you know, you may have 1 month that will, your commissions will cover your bills for the next year, or at least, you know, the next couple months. And it's really easy to get comfortable and not pursue new business. But, you know, the successful people are going to keep climbing that ladder, keep looking for, you know, more balls to throw up in the air so that they're never resting and they're never at that low point. Because I think everybody in real estate, from mortgage people, insurance, real estate agents, home inspectors, can kind of fill up their pipeline, and they're not doing the things that they're supposed to be doing to generate new business. So, you know, once all that stuff is closed and over with, they're back at zero. And I know I've definitely been subject to that in the past, and it's because I haven't had enough balls in the air.
Yeah, and the other point in that is, the other one was going after things that you're not quite comfortable with, and when are you going to learn them? Like, you got an opportunity and you said no. How does that help you? When are you actually going to take on that new, whether it be the first time you take on a building or the first time you co-host the open house with, as a mortgage broker with an agent or whatever it be? When are you going to finally say yes and take on that more exposure and actually try things? I've heard too many people talk from other people's opinions or other people's experiences of, well, that doesn't work. Well, how many times have you tried it? Well, they haven't. You know, they read somewhere, they read some Inman article, or they saw her on some Zillow post, or Facebook wrote it or whatever, but they've never physically tried it for themselves. And one of the things I push here to all my agents is finding your own niche. Like, what are you good at? And stop listening to what other people are doing to find success, and try everything until you figure out what exactly works. And if you find something that works, of course, focus more on it, but don't turn your back on everything else, because times change. It's a constant changing world.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, finding your niche is important. You know, whether you market yourself as, you know, I'm expert at first time home buyers, or I'm expert at, you know, investment properties and investment buyers and that kind of thing. So it's great to brand yourself that way, but also saying yes to the things that maybe you're not comfortable with, saying yes to every opportunity that, you know, has the potential to bring you in either a new connection or a new deal. You know, saying no is never gonna lead to more success. So it's being open to those opportunities and tackling them head on, whether you're comfortable or uncomfortable, or if it's something you've done in the past or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all seen over time that those different circles, and they say your comfort zone versus the growth zone, and it's all about hitting that growth zone. So let's talk about the next one that you sent over, which was the finder, keeper, and doer method. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this was really a really cool concept to me. And when you think about Ryan Serhant, you think that, you know, maybe he has a team of people that are doing everything for him, you know, to kind of, you know, tackle all of his daily tasks. But he does a lot of it himself. And it's for somebody like myself, who's kind of struggled from just waking up and attacking the day. I don't always have a schedule in place. You know, I wake up and I react. And it's as a salesperson, you need to be, you need to attack the day and not let the day attack you. So having structure to your day, you know, just leads to, you know, more organization and making sure that you're doing everything every day that leads to success. So the finder, keeper, doer method starts out with allocating some time in the day to be the finder. And the finder is the person that's going to expand your network, grow your business. So things like calling leads, seeking out, you know, new connections, whether it be clients or other businesses who, you know, you can work with to grow with, and just seeking more business opportunities. So cutting out a time in the day to be the finder, so to speak. And then at another point in the day, you put that keeper hat on. So a keeper may sound like, you know, keeping and containing things. Really what it is almost like, think of a bookkeeper. So the keeper is focused on the financial profile of the business, budgeting, planning for marketing strategies, and setting goals for the team. So, you know, a lot of times I think sales professionals may spend an entire day just doing the finding aspects of things and letting, you know, getting carried away with that and not setting time away for the keeper things, which you need to do, which is planning, budgeting, and figuring out how you're going to grow, you know, the success of the business. And then you have the doer job, which is setting appointments, processing the applications, executing contracts, working on open houses. So this is the day-to-day work that you need to do in order to be successful. It's kind of the back end part of the finder's work. So the finder's bringing in the business and the connections. The doer is doing the things that you said that you're going to do for those new clients and doing the busy work. So I think, you know, like I said, a lot of times people will spend their whole day reacting to what the day throws at them, whether it be finder, keeper, or doer work. But budgeting time into your day to do each of those three different things really, I think, would be responsible for the success and the organization that's needed.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this finder, keeper, doer method is a very glorified way of talking about time blocking, really. Yeah. You know, and time blocking is something we all say we're going to do, we all mean to do, and then we just go right back to our old firefighter method, as they call it, and put out the next most pressing fire that we have versus making it happen. And I think, you know, one of the biggest ones that always is out there is that device we have over here, this thing. You know, you're trying to do something and there it is over there going off and stuff. And, you know, whenever you read this type of stuff, they always talk about just getting it away from you. Get it away from you. Focus on what you have at hand. And, you know, I think he ultimately in this book really goes over a lot of great methods of making sure that you're doing those processes, but also stressing the fact that the finder job is one of the more important jobs, because without new clients, we don't have a business.
Right. There's no doer work to do if you're not doing the finding responsibilities.
Right, right. And what do you find yourself spending the most time during the day doing?
I spend a lot of time following up with leads. So I guess, you know, finder work. And then on the other hand, a lot of the doer work, which takes up a majority of my day as well. You know, getting in the documents that I need from buyers and chasing people around for the things that I need. So it's kind of all mixed into one. So, you know, I definitely need to apply this finder, keeper, doer method. And I think that at a point, it's okay, unless you have a closing that's supposed to take place tomorrow, I think that it's okay to, you know, let the phone ring for a little bit while you're doing your doer work and, you know, circle back to that stuff later, because you got to keep that steady mindset for tackling the job in front of you before you can move on to the next thing.
Yeah, one of the books Gary Keller wrote was talking about professionalism in real estate and just how every agent just wants to immediately show houses right away. So when the person calls, they just say, what's the best time for you, versus giving specific times. And I think giving specific times is something we all are scared to do because we're scared they're going to go use somebody else. But the reality is, in this finder, keeper, doer method, you really need to fix your times. You can't just make exceptions because you have this, oh, this person wants it now and stuff. Sometimes you actually have to let something pass by, because in the reality of things, it's not going to help your system. It's only going to hurt it, because chances are that person who needs to see a house right now, this very moment, or needs you to run a pre-approval at this very moment, the only reason they're doing that is they can't get a hold of the other agent or the other mortgage pro they have. And as soon as you do all that work for them, you bend over backwards, you change a day around, they don't get that one, then their other person is back and you're gone and they don't care. Because people who are really serious about buying homes, selling homes, getting mortgages, all that stuff, they're usually not a split second decision, I need it now type of person or thing. It's more like you end up messing your own schedule up, then you mess up with your own people, and then some of those balls that you had in the air fall because you're not doing your keeper organization stuff, because you're out there trying to be a finder or trying to be a doer, you know. So I think it's important that everybody keeps it all in mind.
Thank you for joining me on this podcast today. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to reach out to me through PM, DM, phone, email, whatever works best for you. If you haven't already done so, make sure to tell your friends and family about this podcast and subscribe to it for future episodes. Also, take a look on Facebook for our group, Real Facts on Real Estate. Thank you for listening this week, and I look forward to talking to you next week.